Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inka live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to thank each and every one of you and wish you a happy Black History Month. And ladies and gentlemen, we're lifting up our voices and we're singing and we're bringing about the spirit of Black History Month. And we're going to be bringing it to you from various different perspectives. And we'd like to look at it from the viewpoint of looking at our women that are rising in the nation. And we've been focusing on our legal students, and that's what we're going to be focusing in for this month, trying to focus in and take a better look at what's happening in the classroom to those students who are female genders who are working in the area of law. And ladies and gentlemen, as I indicated earlier, we are going to be talking about how are girls rising. Are they faring well in the legal system? And we're going to be bringing that to you in just a minute. And we're going to be talking about lifting our voices and singing today. So join us this evening as we begin to tell the story of our history. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you rise as we recite the poem of our great flag, our red, black, and green flag, and that is by the UNIA who wrote this particular poem. Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green, hopes to its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the whole of it. Here's to the red of it, the great nation shall know of it. In time to come, red blood shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depend on it. The red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it, face shot and shelled of it, maiden shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and pole of it, pleased is my soul with it, irregardless of what has been told of it. Now thanks, here to God, just forgiving it. The great flag of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to teach this poem to your children and allow them to recite it periodically. It is our black flag. We should be standing at attention with our hands up in the sky, raised high. Usually this is a unity poem that's read around the world for our black nation, our red, black, and green. Let us stand with our hands waving in the sky because we know our brothers and sisters in Africa acknowledge these colors and all over the world in Africa, wherever we may go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for going with us on that particular journey. And if you are still standing, we'd like for you to come to attention. We do have a heritage as well as a culture. And we'd like to present that to you by singing Lift Every Voice and Sing. If you will join us as we sing that song, it is very important that you understand it is our national heritage. It is our culture. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise as high as listening sky. Let it resound loud as a roaring sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has brought us. Sing a song full of the hope that the presence has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun. Let us march on till victory is won. Stony the rocks we trod, bitter the chastening rod. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died, yet with a steady beat had not our weary feet come to the place for which our Father sighed. We have come over a way that the tears has been watered. We have come treading the waters, the thing that the blood and the slaughter. Out of a gloomy past, till now we stand at last. We're the white bright gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast with thy might has brought us thus far. Thou who hast with thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in our faith, we pray. Let our feet stray from the flag that, O God, will we net thee. Let our hearts drunk with the venom of the world which we had met thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God and true to our native land. And we say Zawate, Zawate. And as we say Harambe, Harambe, let us pull together. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in the Care to Read Room, and we are citing some of the traditional heirlooms of the African. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are out there and you're conducting a show today, remember to do our Black Anthem, and remember to recite the poem of our Black Pledge. It's very important that we keep our heritage alive. And ladies and gentlemen, for the sake of time, we're just going to just call on some of those ancestors and go right into our session right about now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know that Harriet Tubman, she traveled with the pistol, and she did not take her job lightly. Where were you when Harriet was going through the middle passage and she told our brothers and sisters, you are going to wade the water or she will be a dead Negro? Where were you when Harriet told her brothers that you're going to wade across the water and you're going to go all the way? Where were you when our dear sister, Searcher of Truth, walked into the midst of young men who were threatening her life, and she spoke directly into their lives and told them, you will lay your weapons down. You will not harm myself or others. Where were you when she boldly stepped out against injustice? Were you there that day? And where were you when Sheikh F. Diop wrote books that pertain to our heritage and spoke about our leadership and our ability to press on? Where were you? Were you there that day? Where were you when Madam C.J. Walker did that little walk one more time when she walked down memory lane and brought forth the straightening comb to straighten things out, when she's going to walk back and straighten things out again? Where were you during that history time? And I'd like to say, where were you when Joe Lewis knocked out one of his opponents for the last time? Were you there when Joe fought in a mighty victory against racism? And were you there when Nina Simone said, never again will she leave her country to be free? Never again will she have to keep her mouth shut so she won't be able to sing the song about Mississippi and sing about Jim Crow enslavement. Where were you, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we're going to summon each and every one of our brothers and sisters here today, those who were courageous in the struggle, and we're going to unite them back to the greater circle as we call them back. I don't know where you might have been those days during the time that our people came together, but right now is a good time to come together. And now is a good time to call on our ancestors and reconnect them back, because they are powerful in the stronghold. Like a two-edged sword, they cut going in and cut coming out. We need their alignment today. We need their alliance, and we need their support. So we call on the dead, and we must make a home and a house to the dead, and we must also acknowledge the dead and wake them up and call them back. Do we worship our ancestors? No, we commune with them. And we're communing with them on this great day in Black history. We're calling them forth. I don't know about you, but I know today that our spirit did not our hearts burn when we heard about our great heroes and sheroes. Did not our hearts burn as if we wanted to be there to partake of that great getting up morning. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that we not take this day lightly, this month lightly. We have an opportunity to speak on our great culture and not just our heritage. One day someone went up in the mountains and they pulled out bones, and the bones that they pulled out were of Dagnish, they say. But I don't think they're able to pinpoint the inception of African people. I don't think that they're able to even date back the day that we came on the scene. We are great and mighty old people. However, if they did pinpoint the exact day of Dagnish, of Lucy, then all of living being and human beings came through her loins, then we would be the mothers and fathers of this nation. And women, you ought to understand that if you were a recipient of melanite bones, you African women, then you brought civilization into being. And does that give us a higher position in society? No, but that does warrant us a certain amount of respect. As elders, we are to lead the children. We are to direct the children. And right now, we have children leading a nation of people. That is why our world has been turned upside down. And we as elders must tell the children, children, you must obey your parents that you might live long on this earth. We must tell the children to listen to the instructions of their father. And as we begin to give instructions from all over the nation about Black History Month, as we begin to give a vision for the future, let us be candid into the lives of others, and let us be able to see into our loved ones' life. As we use clairvoyant spirit now and use our third eye, let us be able to open up that third eye and to speak candid about the things that we are to do. Yes, we are in an urgency because time is upon us and we don't have very much time. Someone said, how long? And I said, not long. Someone said, when? And I said, now. And Martin once said that he might not get there. He might not even be in the audience when we get there. But when we get there, he said that he wanted to see young children holding hands of different nationalities integrating together. Now, will that happen, people? Are we going to truly integrate together, or will we die separate? One of this decision has to be made. We're either going to integrate together or die separately and apart. Your decision can be made whichever way. But the real truth is Black History Month is to waken up some people and open their eyes so that they may see. I said, Father, open up their eyes so that they may see. You cannot win in this system by having a one-race dominance. You cannot win by having a singular pronoun of I and big T's and little T's. You cannot win. You must take on a communal concept that this world can be shared by everyone, and you must come to the consciousness that we are at the end time. And if you want your children to survive and to make it into the new system and to the new world order, you're going to have to change your mind about a few things. I know some of you have the mindset on taking over and continuing with your madness, but we've got to get out of our madness. Now, we're talking about law for women. And do women have the capability of advancing themselves and coming into the law arena and advancing themselves in whatever field they want to? Based on what I have seen, ladies and gentlemen, things are changing. Things are changing. I've had a chance to converse with a number of female students who are in law school. They're excited about law, and they look forward to the profession. They look forward to advancing themselves in any field that they so choose. However, the field of law is becoming very saturated, and there are very few law schools who are able to keep up with the recruitment because of the fewer and fewer number of students who are enrolling. Now, as you know, most students who are enrolled in college are females. Those numbers are still yet down. But we have a group of women who are very excited about what is going to happen in the field of law. I say we need to look more at those areas such as paralegal, and we also need to look at how do we educate our people in pro se. How do we prepare them and not to allow them to be afraid of taking a stand to secure legal advice. It's very important that we understand that the law arena, just like everything else in this world, is going to be shaken. And it will have to have an overhaul, and there will have to be a change of the procedures. And will we be in the strategic places to help to usher in that change? I hope we will be. I hope that there will be preparations that are made. Now, we talked about other preparations for the LSAT. Yes, there are. And Black African Americans, you can go and get involved in those enrollment classes and enroll for preparation for the LSAT to better prepare you to take that exam. That is an exam that is required before you go to law school. Now, we have planned for several other speakers to come on board starting week after next, around the 25th and the 26th, for those speakers to come in to talk to you candidly, directly from their standpoint. I am not a law student, nor am I a member of the bar. I just would like to see more of those students talk to you about enrollment and about the opportunities. And because we know that girls are rising, they're rising all over the nation. And they're not only just rising in law, they're rising in other capacities as well. However, we just pinpointed law to talk about a profession that needs to be highlighted. And I want you to understand that this is Black History Month, and we are going to bring in as much history as possible. And I'd like to focus in on one thing today and say that as we begin to look at our ancestors, they did say the greater things that we will do, and it's now time for us to start doing those greater things. If we are ever going to make a difference in this world, we ought to start making that difference now. Now, some of the things that we talk about in this room, they're quite open, and some people think we are very, very open about our opinion. And you ought to be open about your opinion and not double-minded and where you stand. Now, I talked to a few people in this room about our way of life, and the way of life we have chosen is to look at the Yoruba lifestyle, and that Yoruba lifestyle is going to be talked about even more. We are going to be collaborating more with other Yoruba groups to talk more about the lifestyle of Yoruba and how we can utilize that custom and tradition in our own lives. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, for us to define ourselves. I was looking through the language curriculum. I saw every degree of culture except for the African. We are not represented anywhere in our history books, and we are demonized to a certain extent. But we must change that. We must have our place in society, and we must begin to teach the language throughout the nation to our people. We must have a second language, and we must know our own mother tongue. It's very important for us to understand that if we are going to talk about Black History Month, we must talk about our curriculum and our schools being changed to meet the needs of the people. They no longer meet the needs of the people. That is why everywhere you look, the school system is in a turmoil. And everywhere you look, the charter schools are popping up all over the place. They are just extending what has already been done in the public school. Now, we as independent teachers will have to look at, do we need to bring about a homeschool setting? Do we need to bring about an overhaul of the schools altogether? If we don't stress some point, our children and students will drop out of school, and we will no longer be able to engage them in attending school at all. So the education system is broken, you said, Omi. So what do we do about it? How do we change it? What do we do to make a difference? We align ourselves so that we're strong with one voice. And that one voice is we cannot be bickering over whether we go choice or public. If both of them are represented by the administration, they both represent the same thing. We must look at looking at a school system that will include our African heritage and culture and custom, as well as our languages. And if they do not include those things, they are lack and void of any significance. Any significance. Let me repeat that. If a school system does not include our heritage or our culture or any of our language, they are void of any good that they might do. Because for a young child to learn about someone else's ancestors and traditions and not their own, they are lacking. Because the first preservation is to know thyself. Now, I want to put that out there to you today, that as one of our African concepts, we are going to focus on knowing ourselves. And that is the first preservation, is to know yourself. And to know yourself is to know God. If you have not a clue with who you are fellowshipping with and understand yourself, you cannot begin to know God. Remember, I told you God is the person that was placed on your head, and that's Ori. You and Ori have got to become bosom buddies. You must know Ori better than you know yourself, because you are going to set up shop with Ori and collaborate with Ori as your God that sits within your being. It's very important that this Black History Month, we not only look at the walls over in Egypt and try to make them come to pass, we must remember what our forefathers said when they talked about understanding God and knowing that you are God. You begin to start to study your very blackness and your black self as a Nubian. And you understand that Nubians have laid the foundation for the universe. And all of our instructions have been laid in our cosmic record, in our medulla oblongata. Yes, we are asleep. We are anesthetized, and we are merged in water. In order for us to remember who we were, we have got to stir up the gifts. We have got to remember that it took 65 years to make us into slaves, and we were anesthetized. We were lulled to sleep, and we've got to come up out of the slumber, and we've got to come to our consciousness and understand that not only were we once a great people, that we can still be a great people to this day. People are turning on us to find a solution. There is to be a savior that comes out of our neighborhood, out of our community. There is to be a savior. I said, when the Jewish people leave the lights on and a table set for the savior that is to come, they are looking amongst African people for that savior. Well, I'm here to tell you, the savior is already here. The Savior is already here. He is among us, and she is among us, and they are meeting each and every day because the Savior is in you and I. So if you kill off all of the boys to eliminate that Savior from ever springing up in a community, it's too late. That Savior is already here, and he's crystallized in you and I, and he is the Savior that was foretold that they did not want to raise up to become a man. He has already risen up in the hearts of all the men. So no matter how many prisons you set for the young men to place them in, you cannot kill off the Savior. The Savior will rise up again. Though he may be crushed down to dust, he will rise again in the hearts of many. He will rise in the hearts of the children and infants. So that Savior cannot be killed. So why don't someone lay down their arms and stop trying to kill off the black man? Because you cannot kill a savior who is in the heart of men. That savior will be in the heart and the eyes of men. So when you go and place people in prison thinking you will lock them away and they cannot penetrate and they cannot appropriate, they will appropriate. If they have to appropriate for women who do not have a seed, they will continue to appropriate. Because God has said it was so. And what God has said was so, he said he would watch over his word to perfect it. And African American, you being God, speak the word. And then you watch over your word to perfect it. Because God said you could command him. Command God to watch over his word to perfect it. He said, command you me. Now let us command God to watch over his word to perfect it. He said that we would be the head and not the tail. And that we were the rock that he wanted to build his church on. We were the cornerstone. So remind him of his promises to us. They are yea and not nay. We are the people that you've been looking for. We are the burnt-skinned people that you've been looking for. And the Christ is in all of us. So you cannot kill and destroy all of us. So you might as well accept the fact that the Christ is here. The price has risen. He or she is here, and he's in the hearts of the babies and in the mind of the women and in the hearts of the men. You cannot kill them off if you wanted to. That God, Christian-like, crystallized person is here. So, for the benefit of Black History Month, and to make it plain, I want it to be known henceforth and forevermore that we are not to look out in the atmosphere and the sky for any God to come back and to collect us in the by and by. We are not to look out in the atmosphere for any Jesus to come back, because Jesus was born in the hearts of us when he laid up on that cross, so they say, or if he never laid on the cross, he still was in the hearts of men and women. So there is no coming back or returning. He's already here, and he's been here. He was in Malcolm X when he was in that prison. He was in Malcolm X when he came out of that prison, and he rose to the level of being a great priest. He was in the heart of Elijah Muhammad. He was in the heart of Malcolm X. He was in the Garveyite movement. He was there all along. So the Christ-like person is not a real person. He is a concept. The Christ-like attitude and the Christ-like mind is already here, ladies and gentlemen. So trying to kill off a concept, it would be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It cannot be done. So therefore, we are the people that God called to be righteous, then we will stand up and become righteous. You will see a day when we will put down our foolishness and we will come to our senses and we will begin to act as the elders that we are. And we will begin to function in the manner that God has called us to function in. We will come to our right mind. Though we have been out of our mind and insane temporarily, we will come back to our right mind. And the order of the society and the earth will be put on notice that things will not be as it has been in the past, but God will ordain his missionaries. God will ordain his ambassador. God will ordain his priestess to do the work that he's called us to do. And in this time, it's a great time to be alive, because this is the time where we will change the atmosphere pressures and we will make a change for the better for the whole earth, not just for the Black people, but for mankind in general. So Caucasian people, get ready to receive what you have put in place, what you might have suppressed, what you might have imprisoned will rise up and be the greatest thing. He said that the foolish thing will confirm the wise. And if you think us to be that foolish people and that we will not rise up and come to our senses, now is the time that we will come to our senses. We'll come out of our madness. We'll come out of the streets. We'll stop killing one another, and we'll stop doing our dirt to each other. And we'll begin to understand that we have $1 billion purchasing power, and we'll take that back over too and begin to purchase from ourselves and circulate the dollar in our own community so that we will have financial stability. Now, as we go into Black History Month, there's so much to talk about that needs to be done. I couldn't begin to talk about all of it if I wanted to. But what I want us to do is to be sensitive to one another and to be cautious to one another. All of this dirt that's been done and all of this undermining is going to have to cease. And it will have to stop immediately, because we can no longer smile and look in someone's face while we're doing dirt to them, while we're committing genocide against their family or their race. We can no longer do this anymore. God will not permit it, and God will not endorse it. He is in control now, and he is on the scene. And the children, you look in the hearts of these young men, and you will see the Christ-like man that I'm telling you about. It is a concept. It is not a human being. It's a concept. And as we look at our eldest brother's concept, we knew that he had love for all mankind, and he had a desire that all men would prosper and all men would have the inalienable.